Now, the violence surrounding East Timor's independence referendum 20 years ago this week was eventually quelled with the help of INTERFET, an international military force led by Australia. So it was that in blood and terror, but also in desperate hope, a new nation was born. It allowed the return from exile of many East Timorese, including the nation's tireless international advocate, Nobel Prize winner and later Prime Minister and President of Timor-Leste, José Ramos Horta, who joins us now. Welcome back to RN.
Thank you.
Does it feel like 20 years since that vote?
Well, when I look back, I realize how time flies. And yet, when we look at what it was, 99, looking back at what was there, total destruction, people who are profoundly traumatized, more than 250,000 people were on the other side of the island, fled, two-thirds of the country, infrastructure, the schools, clinics, government offices, residences, torched, dynamited by the militias and the military. Today, first, the people are not happier. You see smile of children every day when I go to work, when I walk, when I travel in the country. People are so friendly, so amicable, so happy. Then infrastructures. Where there was no electricity in the country, today we have electricity covering about 80% of the territory. Where we didn't have roads, today we have asphalt roads in most of the country. Where there were no hospitals, now we have hospitals in most of the territories, plus small, simple, humble health clinics. In 2002, we had 19 medical doctors. Today, we have 1,000 medical doctors, 700 young Timorese we sent to Cuba to study medicine, 400 others studying here. So altogether, now graduated about 1,000 medical doctors. So these are some of the incredible transformations in less than 20 years from absolutely ground zero.
I do remember the confusion and the terror, the absolute terror of those times and the destruction that you speak of. It's wonderful to know that there are smiling children everywhere you go. What was the legacy, though, of that trauma on those who lived through it? Psychologically, how hard was it for people to start to trust in their own future?
Well, people generally are very resilient. When we are inspired, when there are people who inspire us, when there are people who tell us not to fall into despair, not to hate, and not to allow ourselves to be hostage of the dark past. So in this regard, Xanana Guzmán, charismatic, 17 years fighting in the bush, leading the resistance, then 7 years in prison. It is Xanana, with his incredible background, with great political moral authority, who told the people, we must look forward, we must embrace our former enemies, Timorese and Indonesians, let's pursue a truth and reconciliation process. And this has helped healing the trauma, the wounds of the past. If someone else, a reckless, irresponsible, demagogue leader, who, unlike Xanana, had preached revenge, well, we would be at war today still, like South Sudan, like in Myanmar, and many other places. Today, you never see in Timor persecution of those who in the past supported Indonesia. You don't see any Timorese in prison for his or her political beliefs. We don't have death sentence. We have signed up to all international human rights instruments. Freedom House, a very conservative think tank in Washington, D.C., says Timor-Leste is the best functioning democracy in Southeast Asia. International Media Watch says we have the freest media in Southeast Asia.
What is the basis of the East Timorese economy these days?
Yes. On the other hand, of course, not everything is rosy. Extreme poverty is still too high. Too many children still malnourished. And That is an indictment. When children go hungry, it's just unacceptable. Of course, successive governments under Xanana Guzman's leadership have done enormous in bringing children to school by the hundreds of thousands, building new schools, but we lack infrastructure, we lack human resources, the ability to organize the systems in such a way that we deliver food to the villages. It's unacceptable that our children remain a very large number malnourished. But there are positive things. For instance, malaria. In 2018, there was not a single case of malaria. Malaria was rampant before independence for centuries. Today, it is non-existent in Timor-Leste.
Has oil and gas brought the wealth that you hope for in East Timor?
Yes, Timorese per capita income, the wealth into the homes of each Timorese increased four times since independence. You can see improvement in the living conditions, houses of people around the country. So it means there is more personal income. It's not equally distributed, I must say. There are complaints about inequality.
Well, that's an issue, I guess, everywhere in the world. How important was Australia, in your mind, in ensuring a free Timor-Leste?
The role of Australia, particularly, obviously, in 1999, because before that, successful Australian government thought that the best for Timor-Leste was to stay under Indonesia, under Suharto. But it was during that critical time that John Howard played a critical role. But he played a critical role largely thanks to also the Australian people who care about the underdog. And it was the Australian people in 1999 who persuaded the Australian government time to change. And it has been the Australian people who play a critical role in getting Australia to change again on the Timor Sea maritime boundary situation.
I want to talk about that because, as you'll be aware, there is a court case, in fact, two court cases that are currently in train. One was an Australian operative known as Witness K, who has indicated he will plead guilty to having been the one who revealed that Australia spied in the highest offices of East Timor in order to try to get an advantage in the negotiations over the seabed border, essentially, between our two countries, because that's where the oil and the gas is. Some people take the view that Australia had a hand in saving the people of East Timor, but then had a hand in trying to steal the money that was represented in the oil and gas away from East Timor. How do you view that?
Well, that is one of the saddest episodes in Australia's history. You imagine, you are a young, robust young man or young woman, upper middle class, and then you see a child impoverished, begging in the street. Then you go and steal the coins from the child in the street. Well, this is what Australia tried to do. This is what Australia did, because it was oil fields like Laminaria, Buffalo, Coralina, that Australia knew was our rightful oil and gas fields, and that in a fair maritime boundary would be ours. So Australia was already exploiting oil, gas, from Laminaria, Buffalo, Coralina for years. They are now almost depleted. Then on top of it, after independence, after helping us, freeing ourselves from the militia gangs in 1999, while Australia provided millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars for humanitarian rescue in Timor-Leste. At the same time, it was conniving, setting up microphones, bugging our offices to understand our negotiating strategies, United Nations negotiating strategies, and to get the death out of Timor-Leste. So that was said. But there was a man of conscience, because he knew he was not spying for China, for Russia, for Indonesia. He was not spying against Australia's military security interests. He did what Australians in their conscience always did, trying to help the impoverished, the poor, the weak. And now he is on trial. I believe that the prosecutor general, those who are indicting him, are trying to try him, I think they feel bad. But Australia would be greater still if they just set the man free.
So that is the Witness K case and the case of Bernard Collaery, the lawyer to Witness K. They're fighting those court cases now separately. Witness K has indicated he's going to plead guilty to charges. Bernard Collaery will continue to fight those charges through the courts. It's one we'll watch. It is still going through the courts. We'll see where that one ends up. Well, we hope for a better future for Timor-Leste than the very dark days that we remember from the late stages of the last century. José Ramos Horta, Nobel Prize winner, former Prime Minister and President of Timor-Leste. So good to talk to you here on RN today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Very kind of you. Bye-bye.
And like so many, if not all, East Timorese, this coming Friday, August the 30th, José Ramos Horta says he will be remembering family and friends killed during the Indonesian occupation, including three of his own siblings, a sister and two brothers. And our apologies for the poor quality of that phone line from Dili.